What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Tuesday to you. Let's get this. What's going on? How you feeling? Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can, as you know. All right, so we start things off by having some open phones. The first interview is not until 9:40 Pacific time. So if you know what you want to talk about, you want to jump in right now. You have that phone number. I hammer this phone number every single day. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. Just make sure that you know what you want to talk about before you get on the phone. Adam Hawk is going to be the first voice that you hear, not mine. You don't want to hit him with, "Hey, Rome, what's up?" I can't answer the calls and host the show at the same time. So I am not the first person you talk to. There is a screening process. We are weeding you out. You get through Hawk. It's not that hard. You get on hold. You get on the air. You get racked. You get a golden ticket. You get run. You build your brand. Hell, one day it might be your show. I've seen stranger things happen. So use that phone number, 1-800-636-8686, or hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Or hit me up on my Instagram feed, if you don't mind, at Jim Rome. Do it. The interviews look like this. Coming up at 9:40, I've got the head basketball coach at Belmont, Casey Alexander. March Madness right around the corner. Middle of hour number two. Unbelievable linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, Darius Leonard. NBA insider, Tom Haberstroh, coming up in hour number three. And we are wide open in and around all of that. Where to start? I think I want to start with J.J. Watt, because yesterday was a crazy day in the J.J. Watt sweepstakes. Now, it started off with a bunch of folks getting hooked by a fake Peloton account. You check that out. One that had J.J. Watt's photo in Houston Texans gear with the name K.J. Watt and a bio which read SB56 GBCLEBUF. Keep in mind, this was on a Peloton bio. And people were so desperate for news and info that at one point he had nearly 17,000 followers. And he had folks tweeting out that that was the best way for Watt to keep everybody informed and up to date. Because he was going to announce his final three teams via his Peloton bio. Yeah, because that makes so much sense. What? And then when he got down to two teams, was he going to announce that through his Fitbit account? A few more updates through his Strava app? Maybe, I don't know, rile some folks up via his Bowflex? I hope you were following his Nordic Track cross-country skiing machine, because that's where the intel really is. And then in the final announcement, when he finally was going to announce it, you know it was going to be on one of those Tony Little Gazelles or some John Basedow Fitness Made Simple gear. Man, they got so out of hand. It got so out of hand that J.J. Watt actually jumped in and tweeted, quote, "I don't own a bike. Stop." Yeah, by the way, sidebar, you should. Not because you're not in amazing shape, because you are. But I do own one of those bikes, and it's amazing. And if you follow me on Instagram, you know, it's not a flex. It's not a flaunt. I just do it to keep myself honest. But I do post my times and my rides. I love that thing. However, I would not be posting takes in my bio. Anyway, 52 minutes later, he tweets a pic of himself racking or unracking a barbell, wearing an Arizona Cardinals shirt, and the caption, "Source me." And that was that. It was official. J.J. Watt is going to be an Arizona Cardinal. And that was a hell of a way to make an announcement. And an absolute shock to most of the world, because everybody had him going to Green Bay or Cleveland or Buffalo, maybe even Pittsburgh. And not just because K.J. Watt posted about it on his Peloton, but all those places made sense. Everybody with half a brain thought so. Except for the one guy who mattered most, of course. J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt clearly had a very different plan. So Steve Keim and the Cardinals had one of their own. It was not that nobody thought the Cards had a chance. Nobody even thought the Cards were in this at all until it was already over. I mean, that was pretty amazing. They weren't on anybody's radar except for J.J. Watts. And I'll tell you something else. At this point, somebody's got to pull Arizona off of Houston because the Cards just got over the Texans yet again. Last year, Arizona worked Houston in that deal for DeAndre Hopkins. This time, it's signing J.J. Watt when he gets sick and tired of wearing the Texans gear and he bounces. I mean, how pissed must Deshaun Watson be right now?
Watson?
His two best teammates are living their absolute best lives in the desert, and he is stuck living his worst life in one of the worst situations ever. At this point, you really have to wonder if Watson thinks that not playing football at all is better than playing it for the Texans. And could you really blame that guy if he did think that? In terms of the deal itself, terms of Watts' deal were not announced officially, but according to Adam Schefter, 2 years, $31 million, 23 of it guaranteed. And within hours, he was standing on a plane, or he was on a plane to Arizona, standing on the tarmac in the desert and making a statement.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help them win a championship. And the one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool to get off a private jet. The owner's private jet. It's a hell of an arrival in Arizona. And as soon as everybody got over the shock of J.J. Watt signing in Arizona, folks started to rush in to bury him for doing that, saying the only reason that he did it was for the money. That if he wanted to win a ring, he would have gone somewhere else. That this was a straight cash grab. That he ended up with a team that is not only not the best in the NFC, they're not even the best in their own division. And in fact, they might be the worst in their own division. Here's my response to all of that. Bull crap. It's bull crap. And this whole thing about this is nothing more than a cash grab, that he's only there for the money. Wrong. Wrong. And even if that were the case, even if he did do it only for the money, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with somebody signing a contract just for the money. That's why you sign contracts, to get the money. That's why most people do anything for the money. I've said it for years. It's like the first thing I ever said when I got on the radio. If anybody ever says that something is not about the money, it's about one thing, the money. So if he's going to Arizona for the money, and that's a big if, which I'll get to in a moment, but even if that is the case, I don't have a problem with it. He's got every right to do that. He should do that. Plenty of guys chase rings, they never get them. Plenty of guys get rings and then have to pawn them at some point. And do you know why that is? That's right, for the money. This is why I'm all in favor of guys chasing the money and getting paid and living a good life. Now, if there's ever been a player who deserved to get as much money as he could, it's J.J. Watt. As big as that contract is, some of you fools think that he's selling out for, it's still millions short of what he raised for the people of Houston after the hurricane. So if this guy wants to cash in now and get some money for himself, I'm fine with that. Go right ahead. Secondly, there is this. There's a report that he took less money to sign with the Cards. So I don't know if that's true or if that's spin, but if that is true and he did take less money to go to the Cards, that kind of busts up the argument about him going to the desert for just the cash. And finally, number three, we're talking about the Arizona Cardinals here, not the New York Jets. All right. I made it very clear from the outset, the right spot for J.J. Watt was Cleveland. But if you're not going to join the Browns, this is a damn good decision. Again, it's not like the guy just signed with Jacksonville. He signed with Arizona, an Arizona team that took a big step forward last season when they improved by 3 wins. An Arizona team that at one point was 6-3 and looked like they were the team to beat in football's best division, the NFC West, an Arizona team that was poised for double-digit wins and a playoff spot before things fell apart in the final 2 weeks. So the Cards are not the scrubs that a lot of you are trying to make them out to be, or that they used to be back in the day. If you don't know that, you're either not paying attention or you don't know what the hell you're paying attention to, period. They may not be a finished product. They might not even be a J.J. Watt away from a Super Bowl, but these guys are good and they're getting better. They've got the most electric player in football in Kyler Murray. They've got a Hall of Famer at wide receiver, two, if Larry Fitzgerald decides to come back. And then J.J. would be joining a defense that already has Chandler Jones, Hassan Reddick, Buda Baker, and Isaiah Simmons in his second season. Now, I don't know if all of them will be there next season, but if they are, look the hell out. If even two of them are there, and I'm Russell Wilson, I'm working the phones to either get more offensive linemen or get the hell out of Seattle. Because if Russ already did not like getting his brains beaten in, he's really not going to like it when Watt and Chandler start doing it. I got a quick question for you. Do you know who has the second most sacks since 2012? That's right, J.J. Watt. Do you know who has the most sacks during that same period? That's right, Chandler Jones. These two could absolutely cook together. Speaking of which, on February 16th, Chandler Jones sent Watt a message. It read, quote, "If you come here, I'll be your personal chef. Monday and Wednesdays are free." Yeah, well, it looks like Jones will be strapping on that chef's hat, sharpening his knives. He tweeted yesterday, "Also feel bad for my guy RW3, LOL.
Laugh out loud.
Yeah, I don't think you really do, Chandler, but I get it. I get that you're fired up. You should be. The card should be. A team that was good in 2020 has a chance to be damn good in 21. The NFC West, which was nasty as hell in 2020, is going to be mayhem in 21. And again, I did say Cleveland was the right place for Watt. I stand by that. But this is the next best move, and I love it for both Watt and the Cards. Love that move. I just laid it all out there. Those are my complete and total thoughts. Where do you come out on this? 1-800-636-8686. And again, if you're going to come in here and say, yeah, you know what? It's just about the money. Yeah, and what if it is? I'm not even sure it is, but what if it is? What if it is? Let's get into that. J.J. Watt goes to Arizona. There has been a Cuddy sighting. Jay Cutler. Not only a Cuddy sighting in the wild, I can actually sandwich that into a take about Alvin Kamara in the wild. Alvin Kamara apparently has settled. I'm not saying he's staying. I'm saying settled in one of my favorite places ever, Big Sky, Montana. And my man's having himself a time. Understandably so. I love Big Sky. I think I'm going to jump ahead on this Tuesday and talk some combat sports. Talk some UFC. Talk about one of my favorite fighters of all, Khamzat Chimaev. My man says he's retiring. Oh, hell no. That better not be true. That better not be true. He is one of the greatest prospects that promotion has ever seen. And he's only getting started. Yeah, retirement not accepted, my man. Speaking of retirements, I do not want to accept. You know who's effectively retired? And if he's effectively retired, I'm effectively distraught. Joe Noah. Joakim Noah apparently is retiring. Effectively. Yeah, effectively, I don't accept that either. I'll tell you something else that I effectively do not accept. Major League Baseball's spring training mercy rule. Have you seen this garbage? Unbelievable rule.
Garbage!
And I will have that for you as well. Now, in addition to all of that, I mean, this is just kind of like my plan. This is what I want to get into. If you want to take it in a different direction, I'm all for it. Kind of like the player-controlled league. Let's go 7-on-7 in a 50-yard box. You pick the plays. You pick the topics. Hell, you pick the calls. That's what we should do one day. I should let it be fully interactive, and instead of me trying to keep you all straight, I should let you all decide. You decide who I interview, you decide who I go to, you decide the topics. Hell, you can decide my takes. Yeah, wouldn't that be great? I could really trust you all to do that. Also, not to be morbid, I may or may not get here, but there were a couple of really unusual deaths in sports. I was about to say I want to be careful in how I handle this, and then Alvy pops the, time to die! Yeah, I guess we never know when it's our time, except when Alvin fires that. Then it's your time. This is how it's setting up. So very quickly, your phone number is 1-800-636-8686. Never mind first come, first serve. First one with a good take gets on the air. If you're sitting there on hold and I'm not coming to you, assume that means we think that your take's not going to make the show better. It doesn't mean I haven't seen you. It doesn't mean I'm caught up. It means your take is not going to make the show better. If you have a take that's going to make the show better, you go right to the front of the line. You know what you also want to do? You want to save big during O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale. Great deals on socket sets, power tools, and more. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get $10 off a 200-piece mechanics tool set and double O rewards points. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Do you need wiper blades? They can help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your car and install them free of charge. They will even test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck at a guaranteed low price. So make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested or getting new wiper blades installed for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Saturday, with teams on the bubble and tournament seats still up for grabs, CBS is going to roll into March with a college basketball triple header starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Georgetown at Connecticut, followed by number 6, Alabama at Georgia. A Pac-12 matchup between number 19, USC and UCLA. Because March is here, we've got the road to the Final Four. And it continues on Saturday with a college hoops triple header on CBS. All right, so quickly, some reaction. Not a lot of reaction, but some reaction. Hey, Rome, I don't own a bike, okay? I own a bike.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Taylor in Lexington. At Planet Wilson 1, we think the Arizona Cardinals have a great shot at winning a championship. Signed, the Suns, Coyotes, Diamondbacks, Sun Devils. Come on now. I'm not saying they're a J.J. Watt away. I'm saying they were 6-3. I'm saying they look like, for a moment, they were a lock for the postseason. I'm saying they were 3 wins better and they lost a number of games by a single score. I'm saying they've got the most electric single player in the game. I'm saying there's a hell of a lot to like about the desert and the Cards. So it's stunning only in that we had not heard them and it didn't seem like they were on his radar at all. But it's not stunning when you see what they have to offer. 1-800-636-8686. Coming up next segment, Casey Alexander, the head basketball coach at Belmont. Darius Leonard coming up in hour number 2. Meantime, really quickly, if you're looking for Jay Cutler, and who the hell isn't, I found him. This time last year, he was living through the absolute nightmare of being stuck in the Bahamas. Do you remember that? While the rest of the world was locked down in the early days of the pandemic, in freezing cold studio apartments, Cuddy and his fam were live tweeting their own personal hell, saying that they were, quote, stranded on white sandy beaches with bottomless Mai Tais, pleading for a flight home from their misery. I'm just glad that they all survived, because that looked really grim. That seemed like a really tough time. Them out there under the sun, gallivanting about in crystal clear ocean water, sipping on tropical cocktails. Well, this winter break, Cuddy is trading in the board shorts for, well, just a board and skis. Because this winter break, Cuddy is in Vail, just a couple hours west of Mile High, where he never led the Broncos to a winning season, much less a trip to the postseason. But at least one person in town was thrilled to see him. And that person's name is Joey Filato. Does that ring a bell? Doubt it. Doubt that. Who is Joey Filato? No one, really. Just some dude. Just some dude who spotted Cuddy in the wild and asked him for a pic. But Cuddy being Cuddy, and Cuddy generally hating the presence of any other human being, made his appearance in the photo conditional. Because, of course, he did. You know, you can't just say yes and snap a really quick selfie. Yeah, all right. All right, I'll do that. However, here are the conditions of my posing with you. I mean, imagine this, a rando on the sidewalk, walking around a ski resort town in Vail, and sees Cuddy. Like, oh man, there's Jay Cutler. I'm going to get a pic. And Cuddy tells him, all right, I can do that for you. But first, you need to do this for me. I'll give you a pic if you chug an entire pitcher of beer. Because that's what apparently happened. In fact, that is what happened. In a video posted to Instagram, Joey Filato is seen obliging the demand and going all Bill Foster from The Man Show on a 48-ouncer. A couple of things about what I saw in the video. First off, I don't know Filato, but mad respect, Joey F. I mean, it's one thing to shotgun a can or inhale a pint. Entirely another to put back a four-beer pitcher with Cuddy looking on. Which brings me to my second observation. Jay Cutler's undeniable biggest talent and skill is upstaging every single person who he has ever been on camera with while doing nothing other than sitting there or standing there looking completely aggravated and annoyed. You don't believe me? Go check out his X Heats reality show. All this guy did on that show was sit in the background with his arms folded, refusing to acknowledge anything that walked by. And that was still far and away the most compelling part of that show. Far and away the best part of that show. The best part of that show. Anyway, my man Filato is working 48 ounces down his face, and off to the side, Cuddy is just staring at him, but not smiling and not having fun. In fact, visibly pissed. Visibly pissed because this guy's about to earn himself a pic. Only Cuddy would make a fan do something like down an entire pitcher of beer just to get a photo with him, and only Cuddy would be wearing the obvious annoyance all over his face as that fan successfully jumps through that ridiculous hoop. So Cuddy. So freaking Cuddy. I mean, remember this, though. Jay Cutler will sit alone in a tree for an entire week guarding chickens from a serial-killing raccoon. But he can't take a two-second pick with a fan unless the fan completes some party trick for him. And still, he won't be happy about it. And somebody get Cuddy a Marlboro Red. My man is pissed. But Cuddy's not the only football player on the mountain right now. Nope. Saints running back Alvin Kamara tweeted over the weekend, quote, "Okay, so I've been breathing Montana air for a few hours, and I just want to say, I bought a house. I live in Montana now. Leave me alone." End quote. That's a strong tweet. It's a strong tweet because I know what he's talking about. If you've ever been there, you know what he's talking about. Big Sky, Montana is one of the best places ever. The air is clean. The sky is big. It's pure. It's crisp. The outdoor sports are absolutely amazing. The skiing, the snowboarding, the fishing, the hiking, the rafting. It is an amazing place. And Alvin knows, quote, I live in Montana, leave me alone. And that was not some one-off either. The tweets just kept coming. Yesterday, he wrote, quote, update, I can snowboard my ass off, end quote. Check out AK mixing his bag up from football to NASCAR to snowboarding at the Big Sky Resort. Big Sky Resort's amazing, by the way. Such a great place. I spent many a summer and winter up there. But maybe he meant that tweet literally, because dude then posted three different videos that all ended up with him on his backside. Nothing serious, just a dude strapped to a twig, feeling his way down a mountain. We've all been there. That's what power slides and falling leaves are for, bro. Or you can make it even easier and get on some skis and just remember the simple rule about pizza and French fries.
Okay, you see what he did? He French fried when he should have pizzaed. You French fry when you pizza, you're gonna have a bad time.
Anyway, AK seems incapable of having a bad time. After he was done snowboarding, he wrote, quote, all right, so basically don't invite me anywhere unless there's snow there. And don't talk to me unless you live in Montana. Man, my man. But dude, I get it. I remember the first time I went to Montana. I'll never forget that drive in from the airport to Big Sky. Honestly, it was one of the most amazing things ever. Having grown up in Los Angeles, the very first time I landed in Montana and made that drive down the Gallatin to Big Sky, man, my life changed. I know what he's saying. And so does everybody else who goes there. This is why we had a house in Montana for a decade. It's unreal. And AK is all sorts of high on the Big Sky. And nobody who's been there can blame him. Meanwhile, Saints fan, though, freaking out. His mentions are just a bunch of fans gripping that their dude's going to die up on that hill with how much he's bailing.
Get a grip.
Calm down, Saints fan. Let the man enjoy his vacay. And if anything happens, your mayor can just openly recruit Chris Carson on Twitter. And by the way, I might not know what I'm talking about with regards to this. I know what Montana winters are like. He's going to want to come home at some point. It's bitterly cold. Bitterly cold. All right, when we come back, we're off to a good start. You know why that is? It's been 100% me and 0% you. That's why we're off to a good start. Lots of me and not very much of you. But you're welcome to come in if you can make it better. Belmont head basketball coach Casey Alexander joins me on the other side of this. Darius Leonard coming up next hour. First up, I have got a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's true. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, that is the XR4TI. That's Old Man Ritt. They're zooming in on Old Man Ritt in the back row, acting like he's working and focused and busy. Way to go, Ritt. Thanks for doing whatever it is the hell you do around here. All right, time to talk some basketball. We are joined right now by the head coach at Belmont. Second season with the Bruins, he was the Skip Prosser Man of the Year in 2018. Led Belmont to the Ohio Valley Conference regular season and tournament titles both last season. Led Belmont to a regular season championship this season. 24-3 overall. SIU Edwardsville against Belmont tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by the head coach there, Casey Alexander. Casey, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You know, in fact, I would restate that. It is early March, which means it is time for you and I to speak. A lot has happened since you and I spoke last March. How is everything around the program right now? How would you describe the vibes?
Well, the vibes are good. We lost two games last weekend, so that's not good, but the body of work is good. We love March. We're excited about playing this week in the OVC tournament, and so bring it on, I guess.
All right. I'm going to ask you about the two losses, but you're coming off a tough overtime loss to Morehead State Saturday, another game where you were without your top scorer, Nick Musinski. What was your message to the team after that tough loss?
Yeah, I feel like it's important that we do two things. We learn from the loss. Obviously, we've got a lot that we can correct and get better from. But more than that, I wanted us, just to keep our confidence. Again, look at the full body of work on the season that's been spectacular. Our team's played really well. Over the course of 20 games in our league, we've got the best league record. We won the regular season championship, so we should go into the tournament and play like that.
All right, so that was the message to the players after losing two straight. And keep in mind, the team had won 21 straight before last week. Going back to Nick for a minute, what's the prognosis in terms of when he might be back and then what percentage he might be playing at when he does return?
Right, yeah, classic ankle sprain. I heard it the day before we left on that trip. He will play this week. What percentage is anybody's guess right now? I like how he has made progress, and he'll be a big weapon for us getting back in the lineup. But how effective he is, what percentage remains to be determined.
Casey Alexander is joining us. Listen, this is not a one-man team. I would never suggest that. I'll talk to you about some of the other guys, but one more thought about him. What has he meant to you and to the program in the time that you've been there?
Yeah, it's a remarkable talent, really a skilled player. 7'4" wingspan. And is just, at our level, a great weapon. I mean, he catches the ball great with both hands. He scores it with both hands over either shoulder. He's a really good passer. So, you know, you stick a guy like that down there in the middle, that's where defenses start their scouting report. We're really lucky to have him.
Belmont head coach Casey Alexander joining us once again. Then you've got Grayson Murray, 24-13-7 against Morehead State. When you were at Lipscomb, you were the first program to offer him a scholarship. How much has his game grown since that time?
I tell you what, the kid's a competitor. He's definitely improved as the years have gone on, and maturity and leadership and things like that. But he's always been a winner and really self-made. The guy just plays at a 10 speed all the time. Coach on the floor. I mean, love having him on your team. Has a knack for making the big plays. All-conference player, defensive player of the year two times. So a really good weapon for us. You put him at the point guard spot and Musinski at the five. Those are pretty good bookends.
Casey Alexander joining us. Now, you and I spoke when you were at Lipscomb, and then last year, after you had won the regular season and conference titles in your first season at Belmont. In fact, you and I spoke on March 11th last year. That night, Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID, and then, of course, everything changed in sports. What do you remember about the immediate days that followed then?
Yeah, crazy. The very next day, the 12th, we have practice getting ready for the NCAA tournament, and with a full assumption that we weren't going to play, and then news broke later that day that the tournament had been canceled. And then we postponed our team meeting until the 13th, Friday morning. We got together, and we sent everybody home because campus was shutting down as well. And, you know, for the vast majority of our players, I did not see them again until August the 23rd. So pretty remarkable in hindsight to know that practicing one day, leaving the next, and not even back on campus for five more months.
And Casey, listen, I know you're looking forward, and everybody had to deal with something when it came to COVID, but your first season at a new program is always going to be challenging, but you had replaced a lot of talent and then didn't lose a single game after January 25th. It was a 12-game winning streak. You had that epic win over Murray State in the conference championship game. You know, I'm curious, what was it like to go on a run like that, have all that positive momentum, and then just have the season end abruptly and then not get the opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it was difficult to say the least. We were glad we saw our conference tournament to its completion. I mean, we had that memory of cutting the nets down and the virtual last second win against Murray State. So nobody could take that away from us. But having won 12 in a row, you know, clearly playing our best basketball and ready for, you know, all that comes with March Madness and a chance to win some games. You know, that was a tough blow for our guys. But we've regrouped and we've moved on and we're ready for another chance.
We're talking to Casey Alexander. You're going to get that chance pretty soon. In terms of moving on, there's still more to it, though, right? In the summer, you find out that your leading scorer, Adam Kunkel, is transferring to Xavier. Then you have the deal with COVID. You didn't even have all 12 players available until that December 5th game against Samford. A number of guys did not practice for a while before that game. Exactly how did you go about leading the team through all of that?
Yeah, it was a crazy mess. There's no doubt about it. And really, I think what we all learned is you just have to go one day at a time. The best laid plans, you know, never hardly ever came to fruition during those early fall months. And so, guys were resilient with it, though. You know, we kind of found a way. And we had a lot of hiccups along the way with COVID and contact tracing and guys out of the lineup. November was a miserable month for us as far as continuity goes and being able to practice, but It's been good since then, and so we've learned those lessons, and it's been overall, you know, that's part of the reward of having such a good season is overcoming those things early.
Yeah, the question is, how'd you overcome all that? I mean, Casey, you went 24-1 to start the year, 24-1, you win the conference regular season title. Like, when you talk about we had to find a way, what was the way? How'd you do that?
Yeah, well, you know, we won some early when we weren't very good, quite honestly. You know, we just kind of found a way to win some games. And to be truthful, we also lost some of our tougher games early in the schedule because of COVID. We were supposed to fly out to USC. We were supposed to play in Orlando Invitational with Gonzaga and Michigan State and many other good teams. And so we didn't have that juggernaut set schedule that we usually do, but we capitalized on the games that we did have, built some momentum as we went along, and you know, I actually put together, I think, a 30-game conference winning streak between the 12 last year and the first 18 this year.
Okay, so you and I have talked about the culture of winning at Belmont. How would you describe what that culture looks like? And when things are really tough, is it something you can fall back on?
Absolutely, yeah, and that's probably a better answer to your question of how did we do it, because you know, winning begets winning, and that's easy to take that for granted. You know, the coaches that are out there trying to figure it out for the first time, or programs that have struggled through the years to win, know exactly what I'm talking about. But Belmont has a proud tradition. Even though we're still a relatively young Division I team, we've got 26 conference championships, regular season or postseason, in the last 20 years. And so we're used to it, and that actually is probably what sustained us more than anything during those early COVID days.
Belmont head basketball coach Casey Alexander joins me for another moment or so. You and I have talked in the past about Rick Byrd and what he meant to you, what he means to the program. A couple of years in, does it feel now like you've, you know, put your stamp on the program, it's now your program, or maybe do you just not look at it that way?
I don't look at it that way, you know, and I've got a long history here as well. It was his program for a long time, but, you know, it felt like home from day one when I came back to Belmont, but, you know, I'm still consider myself to be the caretaker. I imagine that's how I always feel about it. Coach was here yesterday, he watched practice, and remains very close to me personally and to the program, and so I think often about, you know, let's just do what he would do, or let's do what would make him proud. That's a pretty good barometer to set.
So then finally, like you said, you've been there a long time. So you've been a part of the program, and under Byrd and under you, 20-win seasons have become the expectation. Winning a regular season title is not unusual either. Same with a trip to the NCAA tournament. So what does the next level look like, and how do you take that step?
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. You know, and knocking down some more NCAA tournament doors. You know, we talk at Sweet 16, we talk what's it going to look like, and the best is truly yet to come for this program. We've got a magnificent practice facility that's being built right now. Belmont is growing by leaps and bounds as an institution right here at the front door of Nashville, a great city, and so the possibilities are endless, and we talk about it, we believe it, and we think that it'll happen someday.
You know, Casey, I had a conversation with Drew Hanlon not too long ago on my podcast, and I have great, great respect for the NBA skills trainer. He loved his time there. Is he the kind of guy, and I would imagine so, that you can hold up as an example to your players of this is what you can be if you put in the time and put in the work?
Absolutely. You talk about self-made. That guy, I can remember going to watch him work out at Webster Groves High School in St. Louis, and I had to get there at 5 o'clock in the morning in order to do it. He had the key to the gym. He got in there every day, and he has worked his butt off ever since that time. He was a great player for us about a decade ago, and he's made a great living and a great reputation doing what he's doing with the NBA. And we got a lot more like him, but he's the best of the best, for sure.
I was just going to say, finally, are there a lot more guys like that? I mean, can you teach that, or is that just a different dude in the way either he was brought up or wired? Like, I'm fascinated by how badly the guy wants it and how hard he'll go, and why don't more people do that?
Yeah, he's a freak of nature, really. Incredible work ethic, and all self-made. You know, I mean, I'm sure he would give credit to others for things he's learned along the way, but the guy is really always has been as driven as anybody I've ever been around. Wants to be the best at his craft. Works really, really hard, and deserves what he's getting. That's for sure.
Casey tells this amazing story that he's never actually had alcohol in his life, never has, and that some of his NBA clients think that's kind of funny and kind of weird and kind of absurd, and they'll say, hey, I'll give you 10 grand if you do this shot, and to him, it's like a non-starter. It's a no-brainer. He will never do it. That tells you all you need to know about that guy.
Yeah, he's disciplined. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he didn't eat candy when he was in college. He didn't have sweets. He's just like I said, he's one of a kind.
Different dude. Belmont head basketball coach Casey Alexander. They're having another big year. Tournament time coming right around the corner. Casey, great to have you back. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Hey, I appreciate you as always.
You too, Casey. Appreciate you as always. Casey Alexander. It is March. CBS has got a triple header coming up on this weekend. And we are trying to run down as many coaches, programs, to get you ready for March Madness. And Belmont having another great regular season. 1-800-636-8686. A little time on the back end of this first hour, so let me lay out the rest of the program for you. Darius Leonard is coming up next hour. Tom Haberstroh coming up in hour number three, so we'll talk some NBA with him. We're talking Colts football, of course, with Darius. J.J. Watt going to Arizona. Stunning in that that's where he ends up, but not so stunning that that's the choice. And what I mean by that is there just was no speculation. That was not really on anybody's map, except for the two that mattered, him and the team. I like that move. Yes, I was on record as saying the move was to go to America's team. I still think that was the move. But if you're not going to go to Cleveland, Arizona would be the next best thing. Good opportunity, good money, good quality of life. Got a former teammate there, good plan, good defense. I like it. I could see where he'd want to be there. On top of that, I gave you an update on Jay Cutler. Only Jay Cutler would have a fan come up to him and say, hey, do you mind? Can I get a picture, please? Well, yes, except first you have to do this for me. Saints fans freaking out that Alvin Kamara is in Montana. And they're afraid that, one, he might not come back. He will. Two, he might get hurt on the mountain there. He might. I can't guarantee that he won't, but he might. I've been on that mountain. It's one of the largest ski resorts in the country. Dear Rome and Alvin Kamara, I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last guy who came in here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here. Signed, Greg in Montana.
Sick and tired of you guys. The last guy that came in here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Yeah, he knows what he did. That was his intent, to body slam you and break your glasses. Just a politician body slamming and breaking a journo's glasses. No big thing. And the journo being the journo, chronicled it. He reported it. He did not bury the lead. Dude, contacts. Think about it. Mix them in. Out.